This episode of Lawyers Tell All is brought to you by Law Firm Conversions. If your law firm's phone is ringing, that only means your marketing is successful. It's what happens when the phone is answered that will drive your success or failure. Visit www.intakeacademy.com and claim your free copy of this groundbreaking book, along with resources on mental health for intake specialists and empathy. Plus, become eligible to receive a free 15-minute consult with Chris Mullins. Welcome to the Lawyers Tell All podcast, where Chris Mullins, the preeminent sales and communications consultant in the legal industry, shows you how it looks through lawyers' eyes. Here, innovators in the trenches provide powerful insights that help you connect with new clients, handle the sometimes harsh realities of the legal profession, and embrace the mindsets needed to succeed. Be sure to visit our website at www.lawyerstellall.com. And while you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now, lean in, tune in, and let's take a deep dive.
It's Chris Mullins with Lawyers Tell All, and I am here with Chrissy Hagen Naris Law Firm. Did I get that right?
So Chrissy Hagen with
Hagen, and then it's Hagen Naris Law.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. And this is going to be a great interview, everybody. So Chrissy, go ahead and tell everybody about yourself.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I'm excited to be here. As you said, I'm Chrissy Hagen. I own the law firm Hagen Naris. It's based out of Denver, Colorado. We are a personal injury law firm, but we specialize in handling truck wreck and brain injury cases. And so we do have a few of those on more of a national scale, but we're based in Denver, Colorado.
Okay. My daughter and my grandchildren just moved back home from Denver.
Okay.
They drove here like about a month ago.
Okay,
to New Hampshire, where I am.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a long drive.
Yeah, it is a long drive. It's a very long drive. So how did you get, how did you come up with that particular niche? First off, I love that you're niche because that's just the best for clients and for you and everything. But how did that happen?
That's a great question. You know, it all goes back to my partner and I. We started our own practice a couple of years ago, and I think everyone who starts their own practice can relate to, there's that initial fear. Are we going to get clients? Are we going to bring in cases? And so we felt just like instinctively that we had to market to everyone and anyone. You know, we do personal injury, cast this broad net, and we'll get all these cases. But then what we realized was happening is we would get calls from people who have been injured in premises liability incidents or slip and falls, trip and falls. And it wasn't what we were passionate about working on. And, you know, we're like, we're getting all these slip and fall cases. And we worked with a business coach in the early part of our law firm when we started it. And that was really helpful because she allowed us to take a step back and say, you know, why are we attracting all these cases? If we want to be only handling trucking cases, are we putting that out there so people know that? And the answer was no. And so that really got us thinking, you know, if we want to only be working on trucking cases and brain injury cases, we need to be putting that out there. We need to be letting people know that that's what we specialize in, because otherwise it doesn't make sense to expect people to think of you that way. If they don't know that that's what you do, that's what your expertise is in, that's what you're most passionate about.
Okay. So where did that come from though? Being passionate about that?
Gotcha. So at my last firm, I was handling a lot of truck wreck cases, and I really enjoy just the complex nature of them. And I love just getting into the weeds on all the cases. There's so much to be done right at the outset. You know, they're treated very differently from car crash cases. You need to get experts involved right away. You have to go to the scene, do a scene inspection, do a truck inspection, a download, and you learn a ton of information right at the outset. And you're always dealing with experienced litigators on the other side. It captured my attention because it was like a puzzle every single time. You know, it's like, who's all at fault? How many people are involved? What's the issue here we're dealing with? What experts do we need? Because a lot of times it's multiple experts. It's engineers, forensic experts to do cell phone downloads. It's human factor experts to figure out why our client may not have seen what the defense is saying they should have seen and things like that.
Yeah.
And also something that was, I was just really passionate about because I saw the injustice of that side of the claims process. I would routinely meet with clients who suffered severe injuries, and they would always tell me, you know, the insurance company reached out to me, they're offering this amount, should I take it? And this is like while they're still in the hospital.
Yeah.
And it was something where I just felt called to be an advocate for people who have suffered these types of injuries, who are automatically getting calls by adjusters, who hire their experienced trucking defense lawyers right away, yeah, you know, typically within a couple minutes or hours of the crash happening. And I just didn't like that the client always felt like they were on this unlevel, uneven playing field.
Yeah.
And felt like I could do a lot of good in that particular area helping them.
How many attorneys do you have, it you and your partner?
It's just my partner and myself right now. Mm-hmm. We have 4 support staff, so paralegals and support staff, and we're looking to hire another attorney, hopefully by the end of this year.
Okay. And with regards to those types of cases, what's been your biggest lesson that you've learned?
So my biggest lesson, I would have to say, is that, you know, I've learned from the get-go from handling these types of cases is that there's a lot of work to be done right at the outset. Mm-hmm. And you have to know what you're looking for. You have to have the right resources. You have to know who to call as far as experts go. And I realize that it's a very collaborative niche area. There's a national group of truck accident attorneys. And so oftentimes when you're dealing with these interstate motor carriers, you're going to get a truck company that injured someone in Denver, but the trucking company is based in another state, or, you know someone who got injured in another state, but they were visiting from Denver. There's a lot of interaction there. And so making these connections with attorneys across the country has also been really helpful.
Okay, excellent. Now, I think one of the things I read in your bio is about being a mom.
Yeah.
How your experience as being a mom has helped, and talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So I still feel like a relatively new mom. I know,
like you're glowing. You must be really new.
Not that new, because it's gone by so fast, but I know everyone says that, right?
How new are you?
So I have twin girls who are 4 now.
Oh my gosh. That's the best age ever.
It really is. You know, 3 was a little nuts. 4 is manageable.
That's, oh my gosh, twins.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. What are their names?
Charlotte and Harper.
Oh, cool. That's different. Charlotte and Harper. Harper's really different.
Yeah. We sometimes, you know, when we're yelling at both of them, it comes out sharper, but they've just gotten used to that.
Okay. Well, so talk about your mom experience and how it relates to being an attorney and all of that.
Sure. So being a mom has definitely changed me in the sense that I feel even more passionately about my clients when they get injured, and especially when there's minors involved. It can be really challenging because I'm automatically, you know, putting myself in their shoes and thinking, gosh, I can't even imagine if this were to happen to me or to my kids. And it's changed the way that I think, the way that I see these cases, the way that I practice, just in that regard, I think, because it's more relatable now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also changed because it's forced me to become a more patient person having kids.
Okay.
I also, you know, you always have to be prepared with kids for the mood swings, for the random meltdowns, for the impromptu outfit changes they're going to want in the middle of the road trip.
Right.
So, there's a lot of things that the ways that it's prepared me to anticipate, you know, anything and everything that happens in my cases. And then also just being able to multitask and think outside the box. Mm-hmm. One thing that we're really big on at our firm is having unconventional hours, because we realize that there's many clients that we work with who are parents themselves and have full-time jobs, have, you know, after-school activities. And so it's pretty routine, I'd say, that I'm meeting with clients at like 7 p.m., 8 p.m. at night. So, because we understand that you have to be flexible, because my partner and I are both moms. And sometimes it's more convenient for us and for our clients if we have a call at 7 a.m.
Yeah,
have to be between 9 and 5, because that's really not that convenient for people nowadays.
Yeah. Okay. So that sounds good. So you're really flexible. Are you 24/7?
We are. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so how do you do that with your intake team? How does that whole thing work for you?
Yeah. So we do have an intake team that's 24/7, and how we are right now is, since we do handle more severe and catastrophic cases, our caseload is relatively small, I think, mm-hmm. compared to a lot of other personal injury firms, because they're so complex and there's, you know, very huge injuries and huge damages. Yeah. And so for that reason, we don't have a ton of cases. We don't take every case that comes in. Mm-hmm. And so be a little bit more selective. Mm-hmm. We also are mostly, I'd say, referral based. And so if we're getting a call, even if it's after hours, it's going to be someone who either knows us personally or was referred by someone they trust. And so mm-hmm. I think that gives us a little bit more time of callbacks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I just listened to Jen Gore's podcast on your podcast, and she was talking about this, you know, got to jump on it right away when those come in, or they'll go somewhere else. And I'm also a firm believer in that, which is why you know, we're getting these alerts immediately on our phones, emails. We're getting called directly if an intake comes in, no matter what hour of the day it is.
So you and your partner are doing the chasing and the intake process and everything?
We are right now. Yep. Oh, we did just hire an intake manager. And so she's in that transition phase still, but right now it's kind of still the all hands on deck when a new case.
Yeah. Right. Are your calls recorded?
They're not. No. And that's another thing. And that's another takeaway I took from that episode. Is that something we need to be doing for sure?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you're spending money on marketing, you know, I know it's referrals, but same thing, right? So you definitely want to do that. What about your why? So what I want to know is, why did you become an attorney? Like, what happened?
So it happened when I was in college, and I was a business major. I went to college not really knowing exactly what I wanted to do. I thought, you know, okay, a business degree is pretty broad. I can do anything with that. Mm-hmm. And then that became a little scary, because I was like, you know, that's still not really a clear path. What am I actually going to do when I graduate? And I remember I had a business law professor in a legal class that I had to take as part of my major. And she was talking all about how she was an expert witness. And I thought it just sounded like the coolest job ever. You know, she's the one that both sides of the case call when they have a dispute, and they need her to tell it like it is, you know, say which side is right. And she just is so knowledgeable in her specific area. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wow, that sounds really cool. You know, I started exploring law school a little bit more. And I went to law school. And then it wasn't until I got there that I just became really passionate about torts class, which, you know, negligence. Mm-hmm. And I became a torts TA, a torts research assistant mm-hmm. for my professors. And I really enjoyed just that aspect of being able to help people and sticking up for people when they've suffered an injustice at no fault of their own. And that really became my why. You know, I just felt like I could do a lot of good in that area. And I did intern for the prosecutor's office out of law school, my last semester actually, and realized that was not for me. But that kind of solidified that I wanted to do civil law mm-hmm. and be a plaintiff attorney, because I enjoyed the trial aspect of it. I was able to do a bunch of trial work. But I just wasn't loving the criminal aspect.
Mm-hmm, right.
So yeah, I really felt like I missed that bond with the client and their family that I was able to develop at other internships that I'd been at prior on mm-hmm. the personal injury side.
Okay. Now, how long have you been in practice for?
So I have been a practicing attorney for over 10 years, just over 10 years, but our firm has been in business for a year and a half. So not super long.
Okay. So I didn't look that up or anything, but I had a feeling like it's a young firm. Yeah. That's what I had a feeling, which is a good thing. Yeah. So here's the question I have for you then. What are you going to do, or like, how are you going to keep yourself motivated? So focused, motivated, excited, energetic, all of those things that you have right now, because I can feel it through Zoom, which is great, but like,
yeah,
how are you going to keep it? How are you going to take care of it and take care of yourself so that you don't get into a place that's unhealthy?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, because I feel like I've learned a lot about that even since starting just a year and a half ago, in the sense that when my partner and I started our firm, it was, okay, you know, who's doing what? Are we both doing this? It was really hard to get that separation of work at first. And we felt like we were doing everything and anything. And I really didn't feel energized until we started hiring and delegating the specific work. And so that's kind of, again, where we're at now, where I think we're getting to that next stage where we have a bigger and bigger caseload. It's manageable right now with two attorneys, but it's getting to be a lot. And mm-hmm. on these cases, you're constantly working on them. So there's no such thing as you're in the treatment phase, you know, call us when you're done yeah. treating. Yeah. It's constant dealing with defense attorneys, engaging experts, tracking down witnesses, mm-hmm. Doing scene inspections, following up on treatment to make sure they're getting the right treatment. Right. So mm-hmm. it is a lot of hands-on involvement with the client and their care and the investigation process. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that I still remain this energetic by being able to delegate more, mm-hmm. by hiring an associate who can be helpful when it comes to building that trial team, because we are having a lot more cases that are going to trial and going into litigation. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you first start, there's typically that lag time of the client is in treatment, and then you file the case, trial gets set a year out. And so we're coming up on that point in our practice where we're needing the extra attorney help.
Yeah. So I'm just going to share a couple things with you, okay?
Yeah.
If you can, especially now, since everything is so new, set up some kind of process and a system where you and your team, and maybe you're doing this, you and your team are communicating on a regular basis, like just kind of like venting about the, you know, the horrifying things that everybody's hearing and the traumatic things, just to help them. And if you do it now, great. And if you're doing it once in a while, that's better than not doing it, but put a process in place where this is your deal. This is what you do. Y'all do this. It's like once a week, nothing makes anything change. You always do it. And it can look any way you want, but just somehow, if you put that in place now, like a regular thing, then as you grow and it becomes painful, you'll already have that in place.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you try to do something like that later, it might not happen.
Right.
So I recommend that. And then the other is anything that you can do to lessen your load and your partner's load with regards to client communication, intake, conversion now,
mm-hmm.
it'd be far better than waiting until you get busy enough to do it.
Right.
And just get yourself out of there so you don't stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And then turn the other folks into the experts that they can be.
Right.
Those are the great things that I see that kind of get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they usually take a back seat because it's too late.
Right. That's really good advice.
Yeah. So I would give that a shot. And then of course, getting your calls recorded and then listen to them. That intake manager has to listen to those calls.
Right.
So year and a half. If a couple of other attorneys were sitting with you right now and they asked for some advice on getting started, what would you tell them?
Don't wait. Get started right away.
Oh.
I think that was really, looking back, you know, that was the hardest part, was I just never thought that I would be a law firm owner. It's not something that I really envisioned. And then I think a lot of people, you realize you get to a point in your career where you realize that there is that ceiling, and that if you want to do what you're really passionate about and what really drives you, it may require you go out on your own. And I was fortunate to have a partner who was brave enough to take that step with me. Mm-hmm. So it made it less scary in that regard for sure. But yeah, so, you know, just do it. And the worst thing that can happen is, you know, it doesn't go as planned. And so you're back working at a firm. There's always going to be that net to fall back on if necessary. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people find that it's really exciting being a law firm owner and getting to make any decisions you want regarding the firm and types of cases mm-hmm. you work on and things like that.
So do it. But also separate from like doing it, leaning forward and just go for it. What would you say the biggest lesson is that you learned right away? I mean, I know it's a year and a half, but you probably have some really valuable lessons off the top of your head. What could you tell me?
Yeah, for sure. So one thing is trying not to wear all the hats. You know, there's marketing, there's operations, there's client intake. It's impossible for you to do all of those, even as a partnership, definitely as a solo. So be thinking right away, what are you most passionate about? What gets you most excited? And mm-hmm. then delegate all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's painful at first, but it pays dividends because you get to work on being really good at the things you like, and then hiring someone else to, you know, do the intake process, for example. Yes, there's that immediate loss of money, you know, because you have to pay someone, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it's better than, you know, just missing all these calls that are coming in because you literally can't do everything. Mm-hmm. So you have to be willing to delegate some of that stuff out.
And that's amazing advice. And then the other is, your business is mostly built on referrals. So just for me to remind everybody out there that for those businesses, those firms that have referrals, please don't think for half a second that makes it easy, because you still have to sell referrals.
Yes.
I mean, just because it's a referral, it doesn't really mean that they're going to convert. So you just want to kind of keep that in mind too. What do you think about virtual teams? Maybe you have a virtual team.
We do have a virtual team.
Oh, okay.
It's worked out really well because, again, we're really big on flexibility, and a lot of our staff are moms themselves. And so it's totally fine if there's not something that's time sensitive, if they're more efficient in the morning and want to work on that task between 5 and 6 a.m., as long as they get the work done, that's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different systems out there and software that make it really easy to have a virtual environment. So mm-hmm. we use Microsoft Teams. We have all hands meetings every Mondays. Mm-hmm. We have check-ins with our staff. Most of our clients even prefer to meet via video or have a call. I can't tell you how excited some of our clients get when they're like, wait, you mean we don't have to drive to your office? Yeah. Well, I can do a call any day of the week, you know? And so that's worked out really well too.
Yeah. I think that's huge, is to just do the videos with your clients. I mean, you don't need to do phone calls. And plus there's a gazillion reasons to do that. Like, you know, the face-to-face communication, the body language, all of that. You can diffuse client situations a lot easier, a lot faster,
right?
That trust going. And what about communication? I mean, you said you have teams and you meet on Mondays. Virtual, do you think it's hard to manage people virtually?
I do think it's a little bit more difficult to manage, definitely, mm-hmm. comparing that to the in-person settings that I've been in the past. But we're still figuring it out. You know, we also don't want to just have an arbitrary rule that you have to come into the office if we're finding people are being productive at home, which is what it's been so far. But it still can be a little bit more difficult just to track what they're doing and when. And mm-hmm. so trying to finesse that a little bit still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what about being a woman attorney? Like, what is that like? I mean, what are the wonderful things about it, and then the challenges that you've been faced with?
You know, it's been exciting being a female truck wreck attorney because I get underestimated a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
And that usually translates to the other side oversharing a bunch of information related to the case. So, you know, I get the call that's from defense counsel, and it's like, you don't know what you're doing because this, 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 and I don't know if you know, but you know, your client testified this and yeah. all of these things. And so they're giving away their entire position, their entire strategy. And I'm just sitting there listening like, oh, wow. You know, thank you so much for sharing. That's wonderful information. So that's been kind of exciting.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's awesome. Is there anything that you want to share with folks that we haven't talked about?
I would say don't be afraid to reach out to other attorneys.
Yeah.
I've had a ton of young lawyers reach out to me and I'm always willing to, you know, to give any guidance if I can. And I think a lot of other attorneys are too. So that's one thing that I would encourage young lawyers to do. Also make sure that you're listening to podcasts such as Chris Mullins' podcast.
Right.
With the availability of podcasts nowadays, I mean, you literally should never stop learning. And so I constantly am playing trial lawyer podcasts or trial strategy podcasts, or, you know, always with all these free resources out there, there mm-hmm. really should be no reason why you don't feel confident in your specific area of practice. Cause there's just so much available to you.
Yeah, there's a ton. So I think what you're saying, like, it's perfect. And I just want to echo that, especially like everybody can take the same advice. It doesn't matter how long your firm's been in existence, but especially when you're a young lawyer and everything's new, go for it now. All the things that we don't do as we grow, put them in place now. The education, the learning for yourself, but also for your staff. Mm-hmm. Create a book club, like for your firm. You know, have your own picks and you all just talk about it and you read the book and every month it's a new book. So do the things now that you won't do later. And once you have them in place, dividends big time.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. So my last question for you, what keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night? Just
besides your girls.
I was going to say, besides the two kids running in at all hours of the night.
Yeah, right.
you know, they've been out of their cribs for a while. What keeps me up at night? Just making sure that I've done everything possible to get my clients the best result that I can in their case. I'm always thinking, you know, like, is there something else I could be doing? Is there something else I could be doing? But that goes back to what you were saying, is just making sure you have those really good systems and processes in place. And so that everything's very streamlined in that regard.
Yeah, 100%. And don't forget the system and process of self-care for yourself and for your team. Do it now before it gets incredibly, wonderfully crazy and hectic, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
All right. How can folks get in touch with you?
Yeah. So feel free to reach out to me directly via email. It's Christina with the CH at hntriallaw.com. You can also go on our website. We have a lot of free resources and guidebooks on there, especially if you're practicing in Colorado. It's hntriallaw.com. Mm-hmm. And lastly, just phone number that you can call or text is 720-772-8513.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Sure.
It's been great. And so long, everybody. We'll see you again. Lawyers Tell All. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to Lawyers Tell All, where Chris Mullins takes you on a journey with lawyers in the trenches who show you the realities of what it takes to succeed in this chaotic, crowded, ever-changing profession. Remember to visit our website at www.lawyerstellall.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on Lawyers Tell All.